The Red Dwarf ship trundles heavily through space. Different clips of the characters, aliens, and disastrous situations they get into. Red Dwarf, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor.
So there we were at 2:30 in the morning. I was beginning to wish I had never come to cadet training school. To the south lay water. There was no way we could cross that. To the east and west, two armies squeezed us in a pincer. The only way was north. I had to go for it and pray the gods were smiling on me. I picked up the dice and threw two sixes. Caldicott couldn't believe it. My go again. Another two sixes.
Rimmer, what's wrong with you? Don't you realise that no one is even slightly interested in anything you're saying? You've got this major psychological defect which blinds to the fact that you're boring people to death. How come you can't sense that?
Anyway, I picked up the dice again. Unbelievable. Another two sixes.
Rimmer?
What?
No one wants to know some stupid story about how you beat your cadet school training officer at risk.
Then disaster. I threw a two and a three. Caldicott picked up the dice and threw snake eyes. I was still in it.
Cat, can you talk to him?
What?
Anyway, to cut a long story short, I threw a five and a four, which beat his three and a two, another double six, followed by a double four and a double five. After he'd thrown a three and a two, I threw a six and a three.
Man, this guy could ball for his country.
What I want to know is how the smeg can you remember what dice you threw at a game you played when you were 17?
I jotted it down in my risk campaign book. I always used to do that. So I could replay my moments of glory over a glass of brandy in the sleeping quarters. I ask you, what better way is there to spend a Saturday night?
You got me.
So, a six and a three, and he came back with a three and a two.
Rimmer, can't you tell the story is not gripping me? I'm in a state of non-grippedness. I am completely smegging, ungripped. Shut the smeg up.
Don't you want to hear the risk story?
That's what I've been saying for the last 15 minutes.
But I thought that was because I hadn't got to the really interesting bit.
What really interesting bit?
Ah, well, that was about 2 hours later. After he'd thrown a three and a two and I'd thrown a four and a one, I picked up the dice.
Hang on, Rimmer, hang on. The really interesting bit is exactly the same as the dull bit.
You don't know what I did with the dice, though, do you? For all you know, I could have jammed them up his nostrils, head-butted him on the nose, and they could have blasted out of his ears. That would be quite interesting.
Okay, Rimmer. What did you do with the dice?
I threw a five and a two.
And that's the really interesting bit.
Well, it was interesting to me. It got me into Irkutsk.
Crichton materializes.
Curious. Extraordinary. What a truly copacetic piece of machinery.
What is it?
Well, basically, it appears to be a device that converts an individual into digital information and then transmits him as light beams to another point in space. Essentially, it's a matter transporter.
He teleports across the room.
It's pretty neat. Huh?
Where'd you get it from?
I think it must be a prototype. I found it in the research labs down on Z-Deck. I managed to cobble together the missing circuitry, and it appears to be fully functional. Theoretically, it can transport several people at once. Would you like to grip a paddle, sir?
Lister grips the device.
We'll meet you by the Navicomp in Starbug.
Let's go.
As Cat and Rimmer head off, Crichton and Lister trudge out of the shower room.
I'm sorry about that, sir. I neglected to engage the depth function.
We'll walk, Crichton. We'll walk.
In the cockpit.
So, besides cutting down on shoe leather, what good is it?
Exploration. It can take you anywhere. It can home in on atmosphere-bearing planets within a range of 500,000 light-years. If there are any life forms in the local systems, this thing will take you straight to them.
So are there any planets with an atmosphere in range?
Well, several, according to the paddle scanners, but the most interesting prospect appears to be 200,000 light-years away. In the normal course of things, it would take Starbuck several billion years to reach it.
That wouldn't be so bad. Rimmer could finish his risk story.
Travelling subspace via the paddle, we would reach it almost instantaneously.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Hey, Nobody's rearranging my molecules.
It's perfectly safe, sir, but I do suggest that Mr. Rimmer and I go on ahead as a scout party.
What?
Well, if the atmosphere isn't breathable, we won't be affected. If it is, we can send the paddle back to pick you up.
The thing is, Kreiters, I'd love to be in the advanced scout party, facing all those thrilling unknown dangers with you, fighting a frontiersman's path through a jungle of discovery, but you're forgetting one thing.
Oh, no, sir, I've taken your congenital cowardice into consideration.
I'm a hologram. I can't touch the thing. How can it transport me?
Well, of course, you do have a small physical presence.
Precisely. Holly, would you give me Mr. Rimmer's light beam?
Wait a minute.
Rimmer disappears.
Where am I?
This is Rimmer.
Yeah, it buzzes around inside him and projects his image.
Lister pops the capsule in his mouth.
My God, that was disgusting.
Please, sir, that's a very sophisticated piece of hardware.
Really? Anyone fancy a game of squash?
Sir! Thank you. Now, if all goes well, the paddle will rematerialize here. Simply press this green key and you'll be transported down to the planet, a safe distance from us.
Okay.
Rimmer and Crichton appear in a field, bordered by some trees.
What is this place?
Well, I can't pinpoint our location precisely, but the atmosphere is indeed breathable. I'll return the paddle.
What now?
Well, I suggest we start to run, sir. I suggest we ambulate as fast as the local gravity will allow.
Why?
Because of them, sir.
Winged monsters.
Sir?
Rimmer's already running. The teleport paddle appears in Lister's hands.
Must be safe. Let's go.
A Third Reich war room. Hitler.
This will be the final push, mein Kamerads. Their resources are poor. Their will is weak. We can crush them. We can grind them into the dirt. We can chew up their bodies and spit them out as if they were sauerkraut. It will us. Feed them.
So long, suckers.
Don't cross. Cross them.
Get us out of here.
Don't panic me, man. I'm doing my best.
Where are we?
I don't know.
Stone. We're in some sort of narrow stone passageway. So what do? I can see daylight. I don't know, we stand around here, I suppose. Till we wake up where we are.
They're in the fireplace.
At least we're out of trouble. Who were those guys? Well, the short one with the stupid tash was Hitler. And the jerky one, the child molester glasses. It was Goebbels. Suppose the fat one must have been Goering. Must have been. He was a cocaine addict and a transvestite. Did you really? If things had worked out differently, he had all the makings of a major movie star.
Hens, hawk, pig dogs.
I think we've just worked out where we are.
Get the machine.
They drag them out of the fireplace.
Are you seriously telling me he's a transvestite?
Yeah.
With those hips?
We've lost them.
I can't believe how feeble and improbable those creatures were, sir. I've seen more convincing dinosaurs given away free with a packet of Wheaty Flakes. There's something wrong here.
Reach for the sky, boys.
Thank you very much.
So take it a nice and easy. No funny business or I splash your guts around like the communion wine.
Okay, now get moving. Thank you very much.
Which way?
Elvis points.
That way.
What do you think these guys are going to do to us?
Whatever it takes to find out about the paddle.
Hey, if you mean torture, then say the word torture. I can take it.
Okay, they may torture us.
Hey, torture us!
They probably won't, man. They're probably not even interested in the paddle. They'll just take us outside and execute us.
You're just saying that to make me feel better. It's just, those guys are fiends. They instantly know your weak spots. As soon as they see me, they'll know they only have to force me into platform shoes and flared trousers and I'll sing like Tweety Pie.
I don't know what the schmeg went wrong. Crichton never said anything about the paddle taking us back in time. We're just supposed to transport us to the nearest planet with a breathable atmosphere. How the schmeg did we wind up in the middle of the Third Reich?
What are those guys doing out there?
They're building something.
What?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Just a sculpture, you know, modern art job. Like the kind you get in shopping malls.
What's it made of?
Wood. It's a sort of
Inverted L shape in wood.
Does it have a kind of rope motif?
There's a sort of noosey theme to it, yeah.
It's gallows, right? Look, if it's gallows, say it's gallows. I can take it.
Okay, it's gallows.
They're building gallows behind us!
Look, man, don't panic. We're going to escape.
How?
Just hijack the guards when they come in, nick their uniforms and stroll out. Are you insane? You seriously expect me to wear grey out of season? I'd rather hang.
Hang on, hang on. Something's happening. Some kind of parade or drill, but...
But what?
Hang on. These guys aren't Nazis. They're all wearing different period costumes. There's one looks like Al Capone. There's another like Mussolini. Richard III, Napoleon. Smeg, it's like all the worst people in history have been brought together in one place. Oh my God, there's James Last. I recognise him from Rimmer's record collection.
What are they doing?
They're just lining up in some kind of firing squad. Whoa, whoa, hang on, hang on. Someone's being brought out. They're tying him to a stake. It's Winnie the Pooh.
What?
Winnie the Pooh, I swear. He's refusing the blindfold.
They're tying Winnie the Pooh to the stake.
Lister moves away from the window, looking shocked.
That's something no one should ever have to see.
Abraham Lincoln.
My God, sirs! You may break our bones, but you'll never break our spirits!
Good day, good sirs. The name's Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln.
Lister and Cat look bewildered. Albert Einstein.
We have to face facts. The war is lost.
But what are we going to do?
I don't know. I still feel there's a solution probably involving triangles.
Pythagoras, what is it with you always with the triangles? Your solution to everything is triangles. There are problems in life that can't be solved with triangles.
Hey, we got us some prisoners.
Anybody got a burger? Haven't eaten in 5 minutes.
Thank you very much.
Could someone tell me what's going on here?
Who are these people? They're not wax droids.
Wax droids?
Of course, this whole place, the entire complex, is a colossal wax droid theme park. See, prehistoric world, that must be where we materialized on either side of it, villain world and hero world.
But I thought wax droids were programmed to repeat a simple sequence of routines over and over again.
Well, they must have broken their programming, and now they're running amok.
You see, we've been left here all alone for millions of years.
We learned to break our program.
And we've been fighting this idiotic, futile war ever since.
A war?
Good versus evil, sugar.
Where's the rest of your army?
They've all been killed.
All our best warriors are gone, man. John Wayne, Sir Lancelot, Joan of Arc, Nelson, Wellington, hell, baby, even Doris Day. They've all died in battle, man.
And you're all that's left, just a smattering of intellectuals, pacifists, and celebrities?
We number less than 20.
If only we numbered 21, then at least we could form an equilateral triangle.
Will you shut up already with the triangles? Everything is triangles. You're driving me crazy.
Who do the enemy have?
The cream of evil. Hitler, Napoleon, Messalina, Caligula, the Boston Strangler, dozens of them.
And we don't even have a leader. We haven't really got a chance.
My God, Triton. This is my destiny. I was born for this moment.
I'm not sure I'm following you, sir.
Across that valley lies an army of darkness such as mankind has never seen. The only thing between them and total victory is this pathetic pocket of resistance without a leader, without a plan. And into this bleak arena steps a man. The man for the moment.
Who?
Me. Who'd you think? Pat Boone? Gentlemen, ladies, assemble your troops for inspection at 1500 hours. Together with my valiant adjutant Crichton, I'm going to turn you into the meanest, fittest fighting machine that ever graced a battlefield. Come on, Crichton.
But I don't want to fight. I'm going to get killed.
In the prison cell.
And we've been fighting the wax war ever since.
What's the point of this war?
They want our wax.
so they can melt us down, insert new programs, and turn us into their own kind. That's why we're becoming so hopelessly outnumbered.
On your feet, pigs.
Hey, buddy, we just... You know, we...
Silence, scum! Do you not sink to your knees and bow in the presence of the Emperor Caligula?
Who is this guy?
Caligula's a famous Roman emperor. He slept with his mother, both his sisters, and ended up eating his son.
Hey, a little advice, bud. We all feel peckish after making love, but most of us settle for pizza.
You are an impudent fool.
He slaps Lister.
Don't know who the other one is.
That's Rasputin, the most hated, loathed, and despised man of his era.
This machine, how does it work?
I don't know. If I did, I wouldn't be here.
Very well. If that's the way you want to play it. Rasputin, bring in the bucket of soapy frogs and remove his trousers.
Hang on, it's got something to do with travelling across subspace.
Demonstrate.
Well, like I said, I don't really know.
Very well. Rasputin, bring hither the skin diving suit with the bottom cut out and unleash the rampant wildebeest.
Hang on, I'll try my best. Just give it here.
Ah, you think I'm insane?
Should we take a quick vote?
Scum!
Shut up!
We'll all hold on to it.
They all hold on to the teleport device.
Now! Come on, let's get out of here.
Caligula and Rasputin disappear, and Lister and Cat dash out with Lincoln. Caligula and Rasputin burst out of a cupboard.
Rasputin, I'm very cross indeed! Guards!
A field.
This way! If we make good time, we'll be back at HQ by sunset!
What a challenge. The greatest minds in military history against me. Let's pray they're up to it.
Are you sure your sanity chip is fully screwed in, sir? Have you any conception of what's lining up outside for your inspection?
I'll soon shape them up. By God, I only wish the lads from the IO Amateur Wargamers and the recreators of the Battle of Neasden Society could see me now. They choke on their pikestaffs.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
As you were, Sergeant Presley.
Guys are outside, sir, waiting inspection. Thank you very much.
Well done, Presley.
Uh-huh.
Good view, sir.
Crichton, let's see what we've got, eh?
Rimmer marches outside with Elvis and Crichton and inspects the troop, who are standing to attention. Einstein, Pythagoras, Stan Laurel, Pope Gregory, Marilyn Monroe. He approaches Gandhi.
What's your name, soldier?
His name's Gandhi, sir. Mahatma Gandhi.
Well, get him out of that damn nappy and into a uniform. Have you no pride, man? Don't you want to win this war? Don't eyeball me, Gandhi. Get on the floor and give me 50. No!
Gandhi struggles to do a press-up.
Teresa, sir. Mother Teresa. Assisi, sir? St. Francis of Assisi?
There's only two kinds from Assisi.
Moving hastily on, sir.
What's he doing here?
He was posted here from the fiction section. The Dalai Lama? Mr. Noel Coward, sir.
Delighted to meet you, dear boy.
Shut up.
Monsieur Jean-Paul Sartre, sir.
Who?
He's a philosopher, sir. He's an existentialist.
Well, Sartre, we don't like existentialists around here. And we certainly don't like French philosophers poncing around in their black polo necks, filling everyone's heads with their theories about the bleakness of existence and the absurdity of the cosmos. Clear? Well, you're quite the worst bunch of famous historical wax droids I've ever had the misfortune to clap my eyes on. You're a total bloody shambles. And if we're going to win this war, someone is going to have to turn you into soldiers. And that someone, ladies and gentlemen, is me! Over to you, Crichton.
Crichton looks helpless.
I'm watching you, Gandhi.
Elvis leads the troop in a brisk march.
We are mean. Army with a death machine. All we do is kill and play.
Don't care if we get blown away. Hey,
Elvis adopts a strutting pose.
You're driving them too hard, sir.
It's my job to drive them hard, Crichton.
The three of them have melted from exhaustion.
Perhaps I have been a bit too tough, but it's for their own good.
You're killing them for their own good?
Look, when they get out in that battlefield, don't you think the enemy are going to try and kill them?
They won't need to. You'll have wiped them all out first.
I know what I'm doing, Crichton. We attack tomorrow under cover of daylight.
Daylight, sir?
It's the last thing they'll be expecting. A daylight charge over the minefield.
The what field?
Obviously, I'll have to coordinate things from back here. Now, this is the plan.
Really?
Thank you very much, sir. These people say they know you, sir. Thank you very much.
Listy, welcome to Command Center.
Rimmer, what's going on out there? Isn't that Mahatma Gandhi? What's he doing practicing hand-to-hand combat with a nun?
That's not a nun, Listy. That's Lieutenant Colonel Mother Teresa. She's a soldier now.
What are you doing, buddy?
I'm winning this war. That's what I'm doing, buddy. You won't believe what a ragamuffin bunch of lefty, wishy-washy liberals they were before I knocked some good old-fashioned death of glory bloodlust into them.
You're taking a group of holy men and pacifists and turning them into the dirty dozen.
No, I can't take all the credit. Couldn't have done it without Crichton here.
Oh, I'm sorry, sirs. I had no choice. I'm programmed to obey, no matter how psychotic and deranged the human order.
Rimmer, you're going to get these guys wiped out. They're not soldiers.
He's flipped.
With all respect, sir, he's right. I beg you to reconsider.
They're only wax droids.
But remember, they've broken the program and they're capable of independent thought. That makes them alive. Makes them practically people. I'm not going to let you do it.
Pardon me?
You heard me. If you can talk them into it, then I can talk them out.
I see. San Presley?
Thank you very much, sir.
Place these gentlemen under arrest until further notice. If they resist, shoot them.
Reach for the sky, boys. Let me see them under stains.
Come on, Crichton.
Oh, he's been acting strangely ever since we landed here, sir. I think it might have affected his mind when you chewed his light bee.
I'll do more than chew his light bee when we get out of here.
Crichton!
Thank you very much. You've been wonderful prisoners, you really have.
On the field.
Well, I don't know about the enemy, but you certainly scare the hell out of me. Let's get this show on the road.
Company! Advance!
Right. You know what you have to do.
He leads Queen Victoria away.
Let's go, Holly.
Okay, matey.
The troop charge across the field as explosions rip up the grass. Gandhi is obliterated, leaving behind a pair of smoking shoes. Stan Laurel weeps, and a moment later, Mother Teresa is blown away. Rimmer watches the carnage with a disappointed expression. The Dalai Lama gets blown up, then Jean-Paul Sartre gets shot in the chest. Noel Coward in the leg. Hitler and his men, along with a Ku Klux Klan member, are shooting through a window. Queen Victoria comes in with a machine gun and opens fire. Hitler's riddled with bullets, but manages to shoot Queen Victoria before slumping under his desk. Crichton comes in.
Iron Duke, Iron Duke, this is pawn sacrifice. Come in,
please. Crichton, how's it going?
I'm in the Third Reich building, minimal resistance. Just as you planned, the decoy charge has drawn their fire.
Okay, now find the boiler room and hit the thermostat. They'll melt once it hits 100 degrees.
I'm on my way, sir.
Victory, gentlemen. The fascists have fallen.
Oh, may I untie them now, sir?
Rejoice, we conquer. Victory on Waxworld. It's VW Day.
So they took the HQ, wiped them all out?
To a droid.
It's true, all melted.
And what about Arnie's army?
Yeah, how many of them made it back?
There are always casualties in war, gentlemen. Otherwise it wouldn't be war. It'd just be a rather nasty argument with lots of pushing and shoving.
How many survived?
Well, we haven't had time to make a full official estimate. But at a rough guess, and obviously this is subject to alteration pending information updates, roundabout none of them.
So you wiped out the entire population of this planet.
You make it sound so negative, Lister. Don't you see? The deranged menace that once threatened this world is vanquished.
No, it isn't, pal. You're still here.
I brought about peace. Peace, freedom and democracy.
Yeah, Rimmer, right, absolutely. Now all the corpses that litter that battlefield can just lie there, safe in the knowledge that they snuffed it under a flag of peace and can now happily decompose in a land of freedom. You smeghead.
There really is no pleasing some people, is there?
Well, at least we got the matter paddle back.
Well, there's nothing to stay here for. Let's get back.
Well, shouldn't we go out onto the battlefield and bask in the glow of victory?
Collie, give me his light, B. See you, Rimmer.
Sir, what are you thinking of?
Lister swallows the light bee.
It's okay. He'll come out in a couple of days. We've been through what he's put us through. Does anyone fancy a vindaloo?
Thank you very much.